Okay, well, it's December 22nd, and we're here with the Bolognini's and the Coughlins and Ridge Grom. And I want to share with you, first of all, something that pretty cool that happened this week. As some of you know, I'm into nature photography. And this past Thursday, I had my car in the shop to get a headlight fixed. I did get that one fixed, and then after I picked it up, I noticed that the other one just went out afterwards, so I'll have to get it fixed again. But I take it to John's Automotive, which is a couple of blocks away, so the car was done in the early afternoon, so I walked over to pick it up, but I thought before I left I should take my camera with me. And Lynn saw that I had it. She said, "Oh, are you going to take pictures of some birds or something?" I said, "Well, you never know when there's going to be a photo op." So I picked up the van, and instead of driving home, I drove down Broad Street and took a left on South Street, and then parked along the side of the road at the back end of the quarry. And I like to go there because they have all these snow geese, and there's always thousands of them this time of year that are in the quarry, and sometimes I can catch them on the wing flying in and out. So I was looking at the snow geese just for a couple of minutes, and then this guy pulled up in a pickup truck, and he said, "Hey, there's two bald eagles, like, over there, not in the place where I was, but a few hundred feet away." And I looked over, I couldn't see him. He said, I'll turn around, I'll show you exactly where they are." So he showed me where the eagles were, and there were two adult bald eagles, white heads, sitting in the trees at the edge of the quarry. So I got a little closer, started taking some pictures. The lighting wasn't great at that point, but, you know, it was snapping away. And then this other guy comes up from behind me, and he tries to get a little closer, and the eagles took off. They got spooked. And he said, "Dang." he said, "I was trying to get a picture with my iPhone, but it doesn't come out. It's just like a couple of blobs on the tree." But the eagles, they came back, and they perched in another spot, in another tree, where the sun was shining on them, which was really nice. And I could get a little gap between the branches, and I just inched a little closer and took some pictures. I had my 50 power zoom camera, so the shots were looking pretty good. And this guy was right next to me, and I was showing him the pictures and said, "Oh, they turned out pretty good." I said, "Mine's, you just can't do anything with these iPhones from that distance." And he said, "Plus I'm getting cold." He was in his pajama and slippers. And he said, I saw the eagles through my window, and I ran out to get the shots. I said, "Well, why don't you give me your email address, and if any of the shots turn out real good, I'll send them to you by email." So he did. His name was Randy.
No, it was Ricky.
Ricky. Yeah, I'm sorry. His name is Ricky Lobsack. Do you know him?
No.
Okay. Lobsack. So his name is Ricky Lobsack. And I came home, and instead of doing my work, I looked at the pictures, and there were five of them that came out really good. So I reduced the file size so that they could work as an email attachment. I sent them to Ricky. And he, he thanked me for sending them. And then a couple hours later, I got a call from a lady named Deb Bradstreet. And she said, "I want to thank you for sending Ricky those eagle pictures." She said, "You have no idea how important that is to our family." She said she was Ricky's sister-in-law. So it was Ricky's sister was her sister. And she said, about a year ago in October, our father died. And this past September, our brother died. He was a state trooper. And he died of bee stings. He had a reaction to the bee stings. And they did the state troopers did like a 5K walk run in his honor, maybe to raise money for the family because his wife was ill and they have a son who's brain damaged from birth. And they're, I guess, doing some kind of fundraiser for him. And they were participating, and while they were doing this walk, it was at the Allentown fish hatchery area, and she said she saw a bald eagle sitting in the tree overlooking where they were walking. And she saw it, and her sister saw it, and some others did, and she tried to get a picture of it with her cell phone, but it didn't come out any good. But she said that was so significant to her because her brother was an Eagle Scout. And the eagle symbol was very important in their family for both her brother and her father. And for there to be a bald eagle in the wild there, and that's the first time she had ever seen a bald eagle in the wild, she thought that was very significant. And he said, then when, you know, you and Ricky met taking pictures of these two bald eagles in the wild, she said that was like, she considered it a sign from God. And in fact, I believe it was, because of the way things worked out. I know God worked in me to bring my camera that day. He worked in somebody else to show me where the eagles were, and, you know, and meet Ricky at the same time. And you know, she said, I'm I was raised Roman Catholic, but I don't go to church. And but we're hoping that my father and my brother are in heaven and that they'll help us get in. And I got to share with her Romans 10:9. I said, I've studied the Bible for many years, and one thing I've learned, and that has given me great peace, is there's a verse that tells you that you can know today that you are saved. And it's, you know, and I shared with her like Romans 10:9, and I asked, would you mind like putting in an email, you know, the things that have happened and the significance of it, so I can share it with some other people? And she said, I'd be happy to do that. So I want to read this email to you, and it's from Deb Bradstreet, and she copied her sister Carla Lobsack. And she said, Greg, how do I thank you for taking these incredible pictures of the two bald eagles in my sister's backyard yesterday? Our family will forever treasure them, for as you know, this has been a blessing from God. Our family has been through much sorrow over the past year. In October 2012, our father passed on to heaven. Then this past August, our brother was stung by bees and had an anaphylactic reaction and died on September 6th. Leaving his ill wife and a son who has brain damage since birth. My brother, Dale Serino, worked for the PA State Police, and the troopers held a 5K memorial run walk for him on December 7th. It was held in Allentown near the trout hatchery. During our walk, we spotted a bald eagle perched in the tree right above the pathway that we followed. My sister and I both spotted it, even though we weren't walking together, as did troopers and others. I managed to take a picture of it with my phone. The picture wasn't wonderful, as we could see the eagles much better in real life than the camera suggested, but at least we had something to hold on to. Our family continues to struggle with issues related to the loss of our brother and father as we try to take care of Dale's wife and son. The eagle sightings yesterday give strength to us because the bald eagle has been a powerful symbol in our family, yet we have never seen bald eagles in the wild prior to December 7th. The relevance of a bald eagle is huge. My brother was an Eagle Scout and helped his son to become an Eagle Scout too. My daughter made a special blanket for my dad, which had a huge bald eagle on it. My father used it for years, and in fact, he was buried with the blanket covering him. Furthermore, Dale selected four bald eagles to be perched on Dad's casket and then removed them prior to burial and gave each of the four kids one of them. We have been very blessed to have these signals from heaven showing us that Dad and Dale are okay and will continue to watch over us. Thanks for your sweet offering to send us some pictures in the mail. May God bless you. And I replied to this saying, Deb, thank you so much for calling me today and for sharing with me the great significance of the bald eagle photos to your family. I knew that God was at work in the event. It is wonderful to see the bigger picture of how much it means to you. I'm so glad how everything worked together at that moment. I will be happy to send you some printed copies of the photos. Be assured that it is God Himself that is watching over you. He cares for you, and He always has. He knows how to comfort a person's heart and show His love in just the right way. Here is the scripture that I shared with you over the phone that has given me so much peace since I saw it for myself in the Bible, Romans 10:8-10. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Another one comes to mind as well, Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. God bless you and all your family. Greg Earle. And she emailed me back again saying, Greg, thanks for the verses. I don't read the Bible, but I believe in God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. I will look up your citations. Have a Merry Christmas. The signals were the best Christmas gift ever. So yesterday I printed out copies, sent them by FedEx so that they'll get them on Tuesday. And I emailed Rick and I said, would you like me to, you know, deliver you a set? And he said, yeah, that'd be great. So I'm going to see him Monday afternoon. And so I want you to pray with me for more opportunities to share the Word of God with them. Because I believe these are, you know, the way it all worked together was literally a sign from God. Not that the father and brother are in heaven watching over them, but something to get their attention so that, you know, someone like me can share the word with them. Because, you know, God does use signs to get people's attention and draw their significance to something. But those signs are always followed by, or not followed by, but accompanied with words. You know, that's how you can tell the difference between a real sign from God or a strange coincidence. See a face of Jesus in a tortilla? That could be somebody reading into something. But when God gives a sign, there are words involved. Now, I did want to show you the pictures also.
Oh, yeah.
So you can pass those around. They did turn out nice. These are the best eagle pictures I've been able to take in my life so far. And so for me, initially, it was just an opportunity to get some cool eagle shots. But then to see the greater significance of what it meant to that family.
Right in Nazareth, huh?
Yeah, right in Nazareth.
Yeah. And then you've driven like hours to go get a shot of eagles.
I'd go 2.5 hours to get to Maryland and take the pictures.
So you know they don't just normally hang around in Nazareth.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, look at that.
I've never seen an eagle.
Yeah, and the fact that there were two of them together like that.
Oh my gosh, look at these. Do you think it was a husband and wife?
One looks a little older than the other.
Parent child?
It could be, yeah.
Wow, that's
unusual. Or a dad with a trophy wife, I don't know.
That is stunning.
I told him, I said, out of all the pictures, because he went to Conowingo twice, I said, these are the best shots you've ever gotten.
Yeah, Doug's going to be jealous.
I emailed him to Doug also. He called him and said, where were...
How far away were you?
I'd say maybe 250 feet or something like
really?
That. Yeah.
Wow, that's a good shot for 250 feet.
Well, it's a good zoom camera, and I was glad I had that particular camera, which I only bought a few months ago.
Yeah.
You know, for the purpose of taking pictures of eagles and things like that.
I mean, they must have looked pretty small from 250 feet away, right? With the naked eye.
Just with the eye, you could see in there, you know, good enough, but to get a good picture, an iPhone won't do it.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, you know, it'll be a little dot far away.
Yeah.
Well, like
right there, that's an eagle.
Our house is what, like 30 feet long?
Long? No, 60 feet long.
60 feet long, okay. Just to give me an idea what 250 is. So it's
I'm just guessing.
Like four times.
I'm just
the
guessing
length
the length, but. But there was I was in a snowy field, and there was a chain link fence, and another chain link fence, and then trees beyond that.
Yeah, I kind of remember. I've been down there.
I mean, it looks like you're standing right there that you could touch them.
Yeah.
Know? That's how close it looks.
And at the time that like the clouds had parted, the sun was shining right on the eagles' faces. Because the first shots I get, they were a little backlit, and you know you can tell it's an eagle, but. Not as impressive.
And the little branches in front just got blurred out.
Yeah, and many times if there's branches in the way, the camera will try to focus on the branches instead of the topic. But
especially from like far away.
But I was just so blessed to get these shots. I mean, for me, but for them it was a really big deal.
Surprised,
they
didn't put it in the paper.
Well, I could maybe give them to the local paper and
They might
tell them what happened.
One of their sections there.
We know a Loebsack. I wonder if she's related.
Could well be. They live on Union Street.
At Easton.
No, in Nazareth here.
Oh, that's right.
But it could, you know, there's family around.
Yeah.
So it could well be the same family.
We had a couple of kids. That Williams, that went through with
the Loebsack.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll mention that. And now, I also wrote a letter when I sent the pictures, and how I would be sharing this with our Bible fellowship, and that we know where we are, when we meet, and that we would love to have you come over sometime, and meet the people that I shared the story with. So I'm really hoping that this will be a good open door to share the actual Word of God, because people see a sign like that. And I want to share a little bit about signs. But this is one of those, I think of it as an Ephesians 3:20 event. Because Ephesians 3:20, and we're going to go to Exodus chapter 3. But because everyone here, I think, knows what Ephesians 3:20 says, it's the now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. The next verse says, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. But when God's in something and God organizes things, it's greater than what an individual might ask or think. I mean, we talk to God a lot in prayer, and we can think of things and ask for stuff. But when he has something in mind, I would have been happy to get a good snow goose shot. I would have come and gone without ever noticing the eagles if that guy in the pickup truck, and I don't know who he is, hadn't pointed them out to me specifically. He was just there at that particular time. Well, I was there with my camera. At the same time, Ricky had ran out of his house in his pajamas. In fact, it was right before Ricky ran out in his pajamas. This guy pulled up and just to tell me where those eagles were so I wouldn't miss them. I know that was God. The guy in the pickup truck might not realize it, but, maybe he's a believer too. I don't know. I didn't get a chance to really talk to him. And then when he did, I just thought, boy, these are cool eagle pictures. I love bald eagles. So that blessed me, but it blessed me so much more to see how important it was to that family. I want to go to Exodus 3 because it's an incident of God giving somebody a sign, and that somebody was Moses. Moses, at this point, had been, raised as the princess's son in Egypt, and he had left Egypt 40 years ago, and he's been a shepherd for a long time. And he's just taking care of the sheep, right? So every day he has concerns about the sheep. There was father-in-law's sheep, and he's taking care of them. In chapter 3, verse 1, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Now what's on Moses' mind that day? The sheep. If you're a shepherd, every moment you're thinking about those sheep. But he sees something that catches his attention. A bush that's burning, but not burning up. And he said, this is weird. And he could have just passed by and said, boy, that was weird. Let me tell, you know, my wife and my father-in-law about this. They'll think it's real freaky. But it doesn't end there. Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. Got him curious. He went closer. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. So not only is there a visual sight that got his attention, but now there's words. And he knows he's the intended recipient of this sign from God, and also there's going to be a message delivered. So Moses said, here I am. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, and he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. And he continues to tell him, Moses, I have a job for you to do. Now, if that burning bush were not accompanied by specific words from God, it would have just been a spectacle, right? Like a face of Jesus in a tortilla. Wow, that's weird. Assuming it was actually the face of Jesus, because how does anyone know what Jesus really looked like, right? But when it's accompanied by words from God addressed to a person, then the burning bush wasn't the big deal, was it? The words from God and what God wanted Moses to understand and to do, that was the big deal. You see? It's like the eagles were not the biggest deal in the world, but for a person to hear Romans 10:9 when they might not have otherwise heard it before, because they don't read the Bible, mm-hmm. and they stopped going to church a long time ago, right? The eagles will bless them, the photos will bless them, but the word of God will save them if they believe it. Now God, I believe it's easier for God to produce signs and wonders than it is to get a person to believe. And I know this because when it came to the people in Egypt and God addressing his people, he did lots of signs and wonders, right? But there's a verse in, I forgot to write it down, but I know where it is. It's in Numbers. Chapter 14, verse 11. You know, after God got Moses' attention, initially with the sign and then by speaking words to him, he told him to go to Egypt, and Moses said, they're not going to believe me there. And God said, do these signs. You know, throw your staff on the ground, it will turn into a snake. Grab it again, it'll turn back into a staff. Put your hand in your bosom, it'll come out with leprosy. Put it back in, it'll be healed. Take water from the river and pour it out, and it will turn into blood. This will convince the people, you know. They said, if they don't believe the first sign, they'll believe the voice of the second sign. And if they don't believe that, see, God can do these signs, no problem. The people believing the words that the signs are confirming, that God could not guarantee. You see? When they were in Egypt, there were 10 plagues that God used to confirm his words that Moses spake to Pharaoh and to the children of Egypt, right? How many times did Pharaoh see these signs that God did but still not believe? Well, really all of them. He never really gave in. You know, he finally let the people go, but then he turned around again and said, hey, we're getting them back again. And another sign was the waters parting. And then there were other signs in the wilderness, the manna that came from heaven every single day that fed the people. The water gushing out of the rock, the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day, those are all signs from God, right? Finally, he led them to the promised land and said, go in, conquer it. I've given it to you. I promised this to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm fulfilling my word to you. Go in. And they said, well, let's check it out first. And they did, and they came back, and, you know, 10 of the 12 spies said, you know, we don't stand a chance here. Two of the spies said, hey, God said we can take it. Caleb and Joshua, they believed the words of God, right? Did they see any more signs than everybody else had seen up to that point? No, but what was different about those two men? They believed the words that God had delivered by way of Moses to those people, right? They're the only ones that believe. There were, what, 2-3 million of them that had all seen the signs. And yet, look what God says in 14:11. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? You know, I've shown them the signs. It's not hard for God to do miracles. That's not, you know, it's easy for God to do miracles. What's hard is getting people to believe his words. That's what he really wants. And he'll do signs to help people see the significance of his words. Let's go to Luke chapter 2. Since it's Christmas time, it's a good time to take a look at this one. And God did plenty of signs along the way. In Luke chapter 2, God did some more. And this is where Joseph and Mary went down to Bethlehem to be registered with that big census that was being taken at the time. It's called a taxing in the King James, but it was really an enrollment. There could have been some taxes paid as well. But it was significant that they happened to be in Bethlehem at the time Jesus Christ was born, because in the book of Micah, it said that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. And Joseph and Mary were both from where? Nazareth.
I'm with the old people.
Yeah. The timing worked out pretty well for them to have to go by government decree to Bethlehem at that particular time when Jesus Christ was born. And so that in itself was extremely significant. And we'll pick it up in verse 6. And so it was that while they were there in Bethlehem, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. You know, and this was just, must have just seemed like very unfortunate circumstances that, you know, there was no room for them in the normal place where you would think a pregnant mother delivering a baby should have better accommodations than that, you know. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Now, if it had stopped there with just a spectacular sight, what would you have? Just shepherds with the crap scared out of them, right? But, again, God accompanies his signs with words, right? And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And that would be an unusual sight, because the swaddling clothes would indicate that this is a royal child. The swaddling, they weren't rags, they were, well, you know what swaddling is, and it is what, when a king would be born, they would swaddle the baby. Not every commoner necessarily gets this swaddling treatment. But for a king to be born and lying in a manger, I bet there's only one baby in Bethlehem that day that was swaddled and lying in a manger. God knew the circumstances of the child and the significance that God's own son would be in such a humble state. Almost as if he planned it that way. But he certainly knew it, and he told these other shepherds who had no idea what was going on otherwise. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger, just as the angels had said. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. So what did they communicate with other people? The words from the angel of God. Not just, hey, we saw a bright light, we saw a baby in a manger, isn't that weird? They communicated that, you know, the Messiah is born. The angels told us these words and told us we would see this unusual thing, a swaddled baby lying in a manger. And they went around, and that's what they shared with people. The word of God was communicated. A sign got their attention. A sign showed the significance and the proof that this is legitimate, but it was the words of God that they communicated, you see? And that's the great thing about a sign. Look at just a couple of pages to the left is the end of the Gospel of Mark. And these are some of the words that Jesus spoke right before he ascended into heaven after having been raised from the dead and on the earth for 40 days. We'll start in verse 14. It says, Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, and there's maybe a 40-day gap between verses 14 and 15. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So what were they to preach? The gospel, the message, the words that would get people saved. Romans 10:9, it says this is the word of faith that we preach, right? That he had been raised from the dead and that he's the Lord. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So he that would believe that God had raised him from the dead and that he is the Lord would be baptized in Holy Spirit and be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned or judged because he did not believe the words that were delivered to him. And these signs shall follow them that believe. What are they believing? The words of the message. Those that believe, these signs shall follow. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And when you read the book of Acts, you see a lot of these things happening. You see all the believers speaking in tongues, right? You see incidents of devil spirits being cast out in the name of Jesus Christ. You see at least one incident of someone being bitten by a snake, right? Apostle Paul, Acts 28. And it didn't hurt him. I don't recall of any of drinking a deadly thing and it not hurting them. But that's in there too. But these signs will follow them that believe. So first is the believing of the words. Then the signs would follow. Now the signs that follow those that believe would be apparent to others that do not yet believe. Right? The others might pay attention to the words that are being spoken because they've seen the signs. The signs don't necessarily make somebody believe, do they? But they will confirm those that do believe. But it has to be the word of God that's believed. That's the important thing. Then signs follow. Other people pay attention. Maybe we'll listen to the words, right? Pentecost. All those 12 guys spoke in tongues, languages that they didn't know, but other people, they heard him speak. It sure got their attention, and they listened to what Peter had to say that day, right? Those that believed what Peter had to say that day, they did get baptized, and they could also speak in tongues. So there are more signs that would be apparent to more people. There were some healings, a notable healing, the lame man at the temple gate, in the presence of everybody, out in public, got up. Did people believe because of that? Maybe not, but they sure got the attention of all those people where Peter could speak to them about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Then they could believe the words that Peter spoke. You see, and more people would speak in tongues and be able to have signs following. You see, in verse 20 of this chapter it says, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word with what? Signs following. Now, Jesus Christ had made a statement to some people. There were some Pharisees who asked him for a sign. And I wanted to bring this up. What did I do to my notes here? Here we go. And that's in Matthew 12. In Matthew 12, look at verse 39, I believe. 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. Now they called him Master, but we know from other things that are written about these same people that they didn't really have respect for this man, did they? What were they up to? What when they say we would see a sign from thee? They were looking for something to discredit him. You know, what did the adversary, the devil, do when Jesus Christ was in the wilderness 40 days? If you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down from this high place. Because, you know, God said he would catch you. He was trying to make him do something on his terms. He defined the sign, right? Turn the stones into bread. What do you think these Pharisees and scribes were going to do? We want to see a sign. He had already healed a lot of people, right? Were there signs evidenced already? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, so why were they seeking a sign? Because they were saying, we want you to meet our criteria. We want you to do what, you know, we're going to tell you to do something, and we want to see if you can do this. And if it's not going to meet our criteria, we will declare that we have evidence that you're not the Messiah, because you don't measure up, putting themselves above little Jesus there. You know, it doesn't work that way. And he didn't fall for it. That's why he said in verse 39, he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, you know, requires proof on their terms. And there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas, Jonah in the Hebrew, Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. What did they repent at? The preaching, the words that God had sent him to speak to them. He said, you know, you've seen plenty of signs already, and you're going to see another one. Me getting up from the dead after 3 days and three nights. But the men of Nineveh, they're going to judge you at the resurrection, because they not only saw Jonah, the sign of him being swallowed by a whale and getting up again, but they repented at the preaching, the words of God. They believed them. They turned their hearts around. That's the big deal. The queen of the south, verse 42, shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear what? The wisdom of Solomon. What was the wisdom of Solomon? The words that he spoke. That's what she was there for. She was very impressed with the way he conducted the kingdom. It said it took her breath away. You know, when he saw that, you know, there's his throne and his palace and the temple that was built and the way he ordered things. But what did she come there for? The wisdom that came from God, the words. That's the big deal. And we'll close in Acts chapter 4. Because someone can read that verse and say, an adulterous and wicked generation seeketh after a sign, therefore, I don't want to see any. That's not what he was getting at. We who do believe God should not be surprised to see God do special things, you know, that we may get to participate in. We do speak in tongues every day, right? Is that a sign to you still that you're a child and an heir of God? Mm-hmm. It absolutely is. Is it a sign to others if they would come to a fellowship meeting like this and hear someone speak in tongues and interpret? Sure was for me the first time I went to one back in 1977. I saw ordinary college kids, you know, speaking in tongues and interpreting. That showed me this. But it wasn't just that. They also taught the Word of God right out of the book. To me, the speaking in tongues showed me that this was legitimate, because I'd read through the New Testament and I knew that people did that in the first century. But when they taught the Word of God, that's what kept me there. You know, these people know the Bible. I want to know what they know. And I knew it wasn't like just some minister teaching it. It was just ordinary people who knew the Scriptures. You don't see that every day, or at least I hadn't seen that before. Every place I've been, there was one minister who taught the congregation, but he didn't teach the congregation how to study the scriptures. He just told them what he thought they said. I wanted to know. I was very thankful that God brought me to a place where I could, you know, see something very significant and then believe the word of God. Once I believed, I saw plenty more signs following. Too many to recall. But the signs of God, there's a purpose for them, and it's always to get people to believe the words, not just to be impressed by the signs. In Acts 4, after Peter and John had healed the lame man publicly, got in trouble for publicly announcing the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which some of those religious leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees that were back in Matthew 12 seeking for a sign, after they saw somebody that everybody knew was lame, after they saw this guy in the name of Jesus Christ heal a man who's now walking around, standing in front of them, that every day they passed by the beautiful gate of the temple, was that a sign? They even called it a notable miracle. And yet, did they believe that Jesus was the Messiah? No, they said, we got to cover this up. Let's, you know, the intent of them seeking a sign. They saw some pretty big ones, and they still didn't believe. But when Peter and John went back to their group, they got together and they prayed. Now, when they prayed, what did they say? Verse 24, when they heard it, everything that happened, they lift up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage? Why did the Gentiles rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ, his Messiah, his anointed one. For a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak, what? Thy word. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. So, did they pray for signs to be done? Yeah. So that it would assist in the preaching of the word. That's why they wanted the signs. They just didn't say, well, we want to have our minds blown, God. We want to see some really cool stuff. We should be seeing some cool stuff. You know, we know you've done cool stuff before, and we want to see the cool stuff because it would just be so cool to see some cool stuff. No, they said, we want to speak your word with boldness, and along with that, by stretching forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. That was pretty impressive, I'm sure. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God with boldness. That's what they spake. You know? Were there signs following after that? Yeah. You know, people would line up for the shadow of Peter to pass over sick people and they would get healed. Later on, Apostle Paul got involved. Did lots of signs. A fellow named Philip went to Samaria. And Simon the sorcerer was impressed by the miracles that that guy was doing. People, you know, got their attention and people believed. So, yeah, when you see God working and doing things to open up people's hearts and minds and get their attention, then what do we need to do? Get the word there. You know, a picture of bald eagles is going to bless somebody a lot, but if they will believe Romans 10:9, that'll save their life. that will be a lasting thing. They'll live forever, you know, and maybe be able to help other people as well. So, pretty cool stuff, yeah. But the Word of God, that's the big deal. Because signs are significant of something greater than the sign itself. And that significant thing is the Word of God, which saves people when it's believed. So God, we thank you for the great things that you do. But most of all, we thank you for your Word that when people believe it, they get saved. Receive eternal life. Become your children. So we pray, Father, that we can have plenty of opportunities to participate in the things that you do that get people's attention. And we pray, dear Father, that we can have the boldness to speak your Word at those great opportunities and see people receive that permanent eternal life that comes from you. And we're just happy to walk with you and happy to do what you want us to do. And we thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen.
Pass out the gifts.